Glad you are spending your Sunday worshiping with us here at Wiley United Methodist Church. And if you are a visitor this morning, or if you maybe you've been here several times and just we don't know who you are, we invite you. There's a blue card in the seat in front of you. We would love for you to fill that out. If you want to fly under the radar, that's okay. We allow that as well. But we would like to get to know you, and we'd like to know that you were here. There's a box on there you can check if you'd like to be on our email list. And got several things coming up. I just want to highlight real quick. If you'll look, we're going to have to give Pete and Betty a raise for stuff in the inserts. We worked them hard this morning. There's a white sheet that's sponsoring Angel, the Angel Tree. There's right kind of in the foyer, right in the center of the foyer, there's a bulletin board with angels for the Salvation Army. And kind of this sheet will tell you what to do on that if you would like to do that. And then the dark green sheet is talking about our Christmas workshop for the children that's coming up on December the 14th. And that's a great time. If you've never been to that Christmas workshop, it's a great time for the kids, and it's also a great time for the adults. It's fun to help the kids and see how excited they get making those gifts. So hope that you'll be a part of those things. Don't forget the Turkey Tuesday will be the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. We've got it's not too late to sponsor a turkey. You don't get to know the turkey by name or anything. You don't have to, you know, do that. But for $15 per turkey, you can sponsor turkeys that will be going to the homes of needy people in our community. And then on that Tuesday before Thanksgiving, we meet at the Carver neighborhood and pass those out, and it's a great time. So we'll remind you of that as that gets closer. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now this is the Apostle Paul's letter to the church in Corinth. And we pick it up in verse 12, in chapter 12, in verse 12. The body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all of its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized into one spirit, into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one spirit to drink. Now, this was radical teaching back in Paul's time because the Jews thought that God's people was an exclusive club. They had really rattled their tree to hear that the Greeks, the Gentiles, were invited into this relationship with God as well. Now, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, these parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, we have invited you here. We ask you to come and speak in power and authority. Transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm continuing the sermon series, Covenant Keepers, Covenant Keepers. Today's message, as you can see from the passage that read just a moment ago, is one body, many parts. I've put this, if you're on our email list, you've been seeing, I've put this on our email the last couple of weeks. This month, November of 2014, Wiley United Methodist Church is 110 years old. Can you believe that? I don't think there's, I'm looking around, I don't think there's anyone here that was originally a member of the church. But on November the 27th, 1904, there was a, right down the street at the corner of Buffalo Gap and Antley Road, there was a little one-room schoolhouse slash church. Wiley Methodist Church shared this little one-room building with the Wiley School District. And on November the 27th, 1904, Reverend E.L. Sisk welcomed 29 new members, first-time members, into Wiley Methodist Church. I can just picture that. There's we've got actually photos of these original buildings that house the church. But and we lost Jesse Edmondson. I think it was in January when Jesse passed away. Jesse's mother just this year, and Jesse's mother was one of those 29. And Jesse had been in this church all of his life, and was a great man, and we miss him. But So we celebrate that today. We pay special tribute and remembrance to the history of our church. You know, did you know that God is a God of covenant? You know, He's a God of relationship. There'll be people that I hear all the time. Well, I can be a Christian and not go to church. And I'm like, have you read 1 Corinthians 12? Have you read it? I mean, that's my response to that. He's a God of covenant, a relationship, and He is calling us to be a people of relationship. Don't be flattered by this, but as God's people, we're referred to many times in Scripture as sheep. And I preached on this two or three years ago, the Psalm 23 about sheep. That's not a compliment, church, by the way. But sheep are, you know, they're stupid and ornery and all kinds of things and require a lot of maintenance and so forth. But that's how the Bible refers to His people. And here's the thing about sheep. One of the things about sheep is sheep live in flocks. Yes? Yeah, how many times do you see a sheep, you know, just wandering out in the middle of the pasture by themselves? What happens to the sheep that wanders off from the flock? They generally are supper for a fox or a wolf or something like that. And so God refers to us as sheep, and sheep live in flocks in community with one another. God is a God of covenantal relationship. And the other thing about sheep is they are led by a shepherd. And Jesus Himself in John chapter 10, He says that He is the good shepherd and His sheep know His voice. So if you ever wonder, first of all, you got to know the shepherd to know His voice. If you ever, people ask me, how do I know if God's speaking to me? Well, first of all, He has to be your shepherd. Because, and literally, the sheep really do, if you talk to anybody who has worked with sheep, the sheep do learn the owner's voice, the shepherd's voice. They will follow the shepherd. And so you have to know the shepherd, and you have to know His voice to follow Him. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd, the sheep know my voice, and the good shepherd, I lay down my life for my sheep. And so we understand that this has to do with covenant, how God values covenant and community. We just started in September. We just started community groups, and I just want to tell you, if you're not in a community group, and this, you know, this is more than just programming. Is anybody in a community group? Can I get an amen from anybody in the community group? It's more than just programming. Like all this, let's see, what can we do that would kind of fill our time, that would kind of look good, that would kind of be something that we think we're doing something. It's much more than that. Our community group, now, we've been doing small groups for, my time here, 12 years, we've been doing small groups, and small groups have been great. There's been a lot of good teaching going on for these 12 years. But the thing about the small groups format that we had is at the end of a semester, it dissolved. It went away. And the next semester, we started brand new groups. And so that continuity of relationship was lacking. The community groups, the format of the community group is that we would build relationship, and yes, we will grow, yes, we will learn, yes, we will laugh, and yes, we will cry together and do all of those things that we do as a community of God's people, but that community would continue and grow and would be fostered and be deepened. And I want to tell you, having led many small groups for 12 years, the first night of our community group, we went deeper than I had seen in the small group format for you going a whole semester. There's something about relationship. There's something about making covenant with one another that deepens us and that opens us up to one another. And it's just been so if you're not part of that, I encourage you to see Billy over there to get to be a part of that. So I want us to talk a little bit about this idea of covenant, this idea of one body, many parts. The first thing is that every Christian is a part of one body. And that goes back to what I was saying, that yes, you can profess your faith in Christ and stay all by yourself and so on and so forth, but that's not the heart of God for us. The heart of God for us is community. The heart of God for us is covenant. And so he speaks of this so eloquently in this 1 Corinthians 12 passage. He says the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all of its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. If you are a Christian, God does not make standalone Christians. He just doesn't. That's just not his heart. It's not his desire for us. He has called us to be a part of a body. Ephesians 4 says, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Do you see that word one keeps that we are one? And I've asked this question before. I kind of played a trick on you a couple of years ago and said, how many churches are there in Abilene? And there was, you know, all these numbers coming up with, you know, 200 and 500 and all these numbers. There's really one. There's one church. There's one church. We go in, we meet in different buildings and so forth, but there's one church. Now, Jesus himself, as he's preparing to go to the cross, Jesus prayed one of his last prayers on this earth. He prayed for unity in the body. Listen to what he says in John chapter 17. My prayer is not for them alone. He had just prayed for his disciples. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. That all of them may be one. Now, how can we be one body if we don't come together in covenant, in community? Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe you have sent me. So we come together as one body, and we are the church. That's really what he's talking about, being the church. And the purpose of that is that the world may believe. See, when we come together in the body, we are strengthened. I want to ask you, let's assume that we've got some big tough guy in here that could lift, 300 pounds? That's a pretty heavy amount. Let's say we got somebody that can do that. So on the count of three, I want everybody to stand up if you're able, okay? Are you ready? One, two, three. Stand up. Half of you were asleep. If the person next to you is asleep, nudge them, have them stand up. All right. Now sit back down. Now let's be generous, and we've been averaging around 250 people, and let's be generous and say we average 100 pounds apiece. I don't know about you, I beat that a little bit. But anybody do the math? 100 people times 250? 250 people times 100? What's the math? We just lifted 25,000 pounds together. Anybody in here think you can bench press 25,000 pounds? We are stronger in the body. We are part of one body, and the body brings us together. And Jesus said that it is so that the world may believe. Now, this tomorrow and Tuesday, myself and our staff, we're going to a prayer summit. Y'all have heard me talk about the One Kingdom deal that I'm a part of, and I'm on the leadership team for this One Kingdom. We're the people who did the signs, the Pray for Rain signs. You've been seeing those around town. And guess what? Last week we had pretty nice rain, didn't we? The leadership team, I just want to kind of list off what makes up this leadership team. It's not all pastors. It's leaders in our community as well. We have a Pentecostal pastor. We have two Assembly of God pastors. We have a Church of Christ pastor. We have the Chief of Police. We have the Director of Love and Care Ministry. We have the Director of Pregnancy Resources of Abilene. We have two Methodist pastors. That's a pretty diverse group. And you know what binds us together? Jesus. We are the body of Christ, and we set aside those differences that we have, maybe in our style of worship and maybe in different theological things that can separate us, but Jesus binds our heart together. We are the body of Christ. Every Christian that has professed faith in Christ, you have joined up into being the body of Christ. Second thing, every Christian has a purpose. You have a purpose. Did you know that? You have a purpose. It's not about just getting your ticket to heaven. I've accepted Jesus. I've repented of my sin. I've asked Him in my heart as my Lord and Savior. I've got my ticket. I'm done. That's not it at all. God has created us with this purpose. Now listen, in verse 17 it says, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? And every time I read that verse, I think of Cheryl and I. Between the two of us, we make one good human being, okay? She has hearing like the bionic woman. You've heard me talk about it before, but one night we were laying in bed, and we've been in this house for 7 years, and she sets up in bed, and I'm asleep, and she wakes me up, and she says, "What is that?" And I'm like, you know, I can't hear it thunder if it was right next to me. And I'm like, what? It's a ticking sound. I'm like, it's a ticking sound. When I'm listening, I can't hear anything. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. We're turning on lights and looking for the ticking. She's thinking a bomb or something. I don't know what she's thinking. It's my watch over on the dresser that's been sitting on that dresser at night for 7 years. It's the same watch, the same ticking sound. But she heard the ticking sound that night. She has this bionic hearing. It drives me nuts sometimes. Well, I can't hear anything, as I said. But she also has this, she's not here to defend herself, and if anybody tells her any of this, I will deny it. No, she knows. She's been married to me long enough. But she also has not that great eyesight, and she has this, like, alarm clock that sits, and it's got, you know, like 6-inch letters or something, numbers on this alarm clock, so she can see it without her glasses. And she, even with that, she gets it, and I'll say, "What time is it?" And she'll get it, and she'll, you know, I'm in big trouble, aren't I? But I can't hear, and she can't see, and between the two of us, we make one good human being. I'm telling you. Every Christian has a purpose, and our purpose is different. I was talking to somebody this morning that was saying something about me preaching. It's like, I couldn't do that. And I said, I couldn't do what you do. Isn't that cool? That God has designed us and equipped us with a different purpose. Now, the third thing I want us to talk about here is every purpose, listen to me now, every purpose is essential. When my girls were growing up, I used to tell them bedtime stories. They liked to hear my bedtime stories. And I think I shared this a few years ago, but I used to, when they were little, I would say, "Do you want to hear a scary story?" And they'd be like, yeah, Daddy, tell us the scary story. And it's all in the delivery, I'm telling you. You know, I'd tell them, I'd make some story. I'm like, once upon a time, I went to a park. And it got dark, and the wind was blowing through the trees. And I mean, you know, it was really nothing, but it was all in the delivery. Well, they went and spent some time with my mom and dad. And my dad's tucking them in. And they're saying, tell us a scary story, Grandpa. And he's like, okay. So he kind of tells one that's a little bit scary, appropriate for their age. That's not scary, Grandpa. Tell us a scary story. So he before it's over with, and each time they're like, that's not scary. Tell us a scary. By about the sixth version, I mean, there's heads rolling across the floor and all kinds. And they never were scared by it. And later he said, what are you telling your kids? I made up the grossest stories I could think of, and none of it scared them. I said, Dad, it's all in the delivery, baby. It's all in the delivery. Of course, my girls are scarred now from their granddad's stories. So I want to tell you, give you a little sample of a story. Are you ready? Kind of like I used to tell my girls. Once upon a time, in a faraway land, there was a big toe. It was not attached to any foot. The end. That's it. You're supposed to laugh right there. You can take the big toe off. I started to take a picture of mine, but I didn't want to gross anybody out. How many of you think about your big toe? We don't think much about our big toe. Yeah, you drop a 50-pound weight on it, you think about your big toe, don't you? Have you ever had a cut on your thumb? Just a little paper cut or something? Some little silly little thing that doesn't amount to much? And tried to button a shirt? You ever try to do that? Every purpose that God has equipped us with is essential. We don't think about a big toe. We don't think about a little cut on our finger until it affects us, until it happens, and we don't function the way God has designed us to function. I hadn't thought of this. It just popped into my head. I worked on a walk to Emmaus about a month ago, and one of our team members was missing. This is funny because this guy, you just have to know this guy. He's hilarious. And he's missing an arm. He's missing from about the elbow down, and he's got a hook. And he comes in, and I met him for the first time, and I said, hi, I'm Jeff Hatcher. And he said, I'm Hook. I said, excuse me? He said, no, that's what they call me, Hook. Remember, Larry? Remember Hook? Well, we're in the bathroom at the same time, and we go to wash our hands, and I'm thinking, how does he wash his hands? You ever thought about it? I mean, and he's got some little technique. He washes his hand. Have you ever thought about how important that other hand is when we wash our hands? If a hand is missing, the body is not whole. What if you're a hand to the body of Christ? What if you're a hand to this church? And you're sitting back not being a hand? Which leads me to my fourth point. Missing our wounded parts affect the function of the body. Wounded or missing parts affect the function of the body. There are many parts but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, these parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Now, I get made fun of because I talk about my shoulder stories, but I'm going to, for those of you that are newer to the church, I'm going to tell you that when I was in high school and I hurt my shoulders, dislocated both of my shoulders playing football, and over the years, they come out of socket, which is gross and painful and all that kind of stuff. I got a jillion stories I can tell you about when my shoulders have come out of socket, and some of them are hilarious, but anyway. But I have learned, I've had five, I think, shoulder surgeries. Two or three of them since I've been here. But I had these shoulder surgeries and trying to keep them, just keep them in socket. And putting on a T-shirt is like, I mean, you've got to kind of do one of these deals, you know, to get a T-shirt on without my shoulders coming out of socket. I mean, you just got to kind of slink into it. And things that I just, you know, most people that have good shoulders don't think about, you know, just raising my hand. And this is serious. If I want to raise my hand to praise God, I have to be careful. I have to be careful anytime I raise my arm. And here's the deal. We learn to function in our brokenness. I've learned to live with my shoulder. I've learned I can't do that. You know, if I'm up on a really tall ladder and I need to stretch it and I'm painting outside or something and I'm doing this, I realize, you know, 12 feet in the air, when that thing locks out like that, it's not a really good place to be. So I've learned what I can and can't do because I have a broken shoulder. I have bad shoulders. Missing or wounded parts affect the function of the body. But God doesn't want us to function in our brokenness. He wants to make us well. He wants us to be whole. And then he uses, just like I just used that silly story about my shoulder, using it to bring glory to his name. When he uses our brokenness that he has healed, he uses that to bring glory to his name. Missing or wounded parts affect the function of the body. He wants us to be whole. Jesus said, I've come to give you not just life, but abundant life. I've come to give you abundant life. And did you know, somebody tell me, when does eternal life start? Does it start when you take your last breath on this earth? It starts right now. Eternal life starts right now in Christ. Abundant life starts right now. That's his desire. His desire is not just to bless us someday when we die so that we can be in heaven with him. No, his purpose is, and his desire for our hearts is, that we would have abundant life right now. In the midst of this broken world, there's brokenness all around us, but he still wants us to have abundant life because it says, Jesus said, I've overcome the world. You see, all this brokenness out there, I've overcome it all. And that's his heart for us. Fifth thing, a unified body, and I want to add just kind of a note there, a healthy and unified body produces God's blessing. A healthy and unified body produces God's blessing. Psalm 133, some of my pastor friends that are actually on the One Summit, One Kingdom team with me, have really put me onto this passage, and I had never really paid much attention to this passage in Psalm 133 before, but listen to what it says. It says, how good and pleasant it is when brothers, and you can put sisters in there too, live together in unity. So we're speaking of unity. Now, verse 3, for there, in that place of unity, there the Lord commanded his blessing. Did you know that there's a time when God commands his blessing? It's like, when that's happening, I will show up and I will bless. So what is that? Unity. When the body of Christ is unified for his purposes, the Lord commands his blessing on that. The first church, right after Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came in Acts chapter 2, when Pentecost came, the Holy Spirit came and filled the believers, and they began to speak the gospel in all these different languages to all these different people that were gathered in the city. And it says that, well, I can pick it up in verse 41, Acts 2. Those who accepted his message, Peter had just preached the first sermon. So if you want to blame anybody for sermons, it was Peter. Okay, he started it all. Those who accepted his message were baptized. About 3,000 were added to their number that day. Listen to what happened after that. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Listen for that word covenant and community. To the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together. There wasn't some of them that received the Spirit and were converted to Christ that went home and go, you know, I can be a Christian here in my house by myself. You don't hear that happening. All of the believers were together and had everything in common, which all they needed in common was Christ. selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God. And listen to this. And enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Do you hear what happens when unity is going on, when the Holy Spirit comes and we come together in unity? Suddenly, people begin to praise God, and we find favor as the church. And I told you a couple of weeks ago that that most people, I would even venture to say close to all people, come to church and probably come to Christ because of another Christian. But also people that reject Christ and reject the church probably do so because of another Christian. Isn't that sad? I mean, we rejoice on half of that, and the other should bring us great sadness. But when we come together in covenantal relationship, in unity, in community, praising the name of God, being of one mind and one heart, God commands his blessing on that, and we will enjoy the favor of the people. I've never seen anyone run off from a loving church. It just doesn't happen. If someone comes into, and I've had this, I had my discovery class last week and met with some folks, and many of them said, came to this church, and the love I received when I walked in the door brought me back. And I want to tell you, maybe pride is, I think this kind of pride is good, because that makes me proud. It makes me proud to be a part of that sort of a fellowship of believers. God commands his blessing where unity is happening. And I want you to, if you would, your bulletin, I had you look at that earlier. I want you to pull out the light green sheet there. Now, I am going to invite you this morning to make covenant with this church. Now, many of you have may have made covenant with this church 50 years ago. I know some folks in here have been here for probably that long, maybe longer. Many of you may have done that recently, or in a few years ago, or whatever. Some of you have not made covenant with this church. You know, this, I promise you with all my heart, this is not about trying to get members on the roll. It just isn't that way for me. Whatever we have here, and people, when I talk to my district superintendent or whatever, and they'll say, what's your biggest challenge in ministry? And I said, I want us to be all in. I want every single one, however many that is, if it's 100 or if it's 50 or if it's 500, I want us all to be all in. That's my heart, whatever that number is. Because I know the potential that lies in this church. And so this covenant of membership, I just want to go down through it. If you come into membership of this church, the first thing that I'll ask you, if you say, I want to join the church, the first thing I'll ask you is, well, have you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior and been baptized? And it doesn't have to be in a Methodist church. If it's in a Christian church and you've accepted Christ and been baptized, we receive that. So you're a member of the greater body of Christ. As you come into membership of this church, the question that is asked, that I would ask you, is will you be loyal to this church with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? Meaning witness, well, we're going to go down through each one of these. On the left-hand side, if you have or are desiring to make covenant with our church, here's what, there it is, prayer. I will pray for my church and fellow members regularly. Presence, I'll come, I'll be active, I'll be a part of things on a regular basis. Everybody gets sick and everybody is out of town and those kinds of things. But when you come into membership of this church, if you're in all, and here's where I get back to the numbers thing. If you're not all in, if you can't agree to these things, then probably maybe you just should attend. and come when you can. But if you can't make covenant with us, then that's what we're asking of you. And prayers, presents, gifts. I will support my church with my spiritual and financial gifts. Probably the hardest thing we have to do is, for me, is to talk about giving, talk about stewardship, finances. I hate it. You know I do. You know I don't like it. I don't like talking about it. But you know, Jesus talked about it all the time. Why did Jesus talk about it? Because he knows that many times our wallet is attached to our heart. There's a string. Remember those little deals where, you know, you put it out and it snap back? I mean, that's what happens when you're like, oh, here, God, it snaps back. It's like, oh, I wanted to give that to you, but prayers, presents, gifts, service. Find an area of ministry through which I can serve Christ and his people. Now, a friend of mine just became a pastor in July, for a second career pastor in Hamlin, Texas. And he had a little lady that was an elderly lady, and when he first got there, she pulled him aside and she said, you know, I used to come and help with the meals, and I used to work with the children and do all sorts of things, but I just can't do that anymore. I'm too old, and I don't have the health to do it. But she said, I can pray. Can you pray? I mean, most of us can do much more than that. We can pray, but we can also serve. We can also teach children. We can also pass out turkeys. We can work at the food pantry and all those kinds of things. But this little lady couldn't. And he said, you just pray. You just pray. That's good. That's good. And then finally, the witness. Man, you hear me say it every Sunday when I finish the sermon. Go and tell someone. If Jesus has been good to you, go tell somebody that. Because there's hurting people all around us. There's hurting people at your work. There's hurting people in your neighborhood. There's hurting people at the daycare. There's hurting people in the grocery store. There's hurting people in the bank. There's hurting people driving down the street. It may be that person that just waved a hand to you that's not all that pleasant. They're hurting. They may be mean, but they're hurting. Are we telling the goodness of Christ in our lives? And then the covenant is not just a one-sided covenant. We as a church and me as your pastor, we make covenant with you. It's not like all this stuff that you can just do for the church, but no, we make covenant with you. And on the right-hand side is the covenant that the church makes to provide opportunities for you to grow and live out your faith in Christ. That ought to be happening here. Provide opportunities for you to develop deep and lasting friendships in community with God's people. Sunday school, community groups. Provide opportunities for lifelong learning as you deepen your understanding of the Bible and the Christian faith. Again, Sunday school, community groups, Bible studies. We have a Tuesday morning men's Bible study and a Tuesday noon, right, noon, Joyce? 10 o'clock, ladies' Bible studies. Be good stewards of your financial gifts to this church and God's people, God's kingdom. I just want you to know that we are good stewards of the finances that come into this church. Our financial books are open to anyone. You come, you say, I'd like to see your books, and we'll print you a copy, or I'll send you an electronic copy. They're open. I would do that for somebody walking up off the street. The only thing that's confidential is personal givings, what a family or a person gives. That's confidential. Everything else that we spend or we take in is open for everyone to see. And then finally, provide physical, emotional, and spiritual care with great love and compassion. I hope that we are that kind of church for you. I hope that I'm that kind of pastor for you. Now, I just want to say this, that I'm human, okay? And I may have let you down before, and that's not my heart or my intent. But I get tired, and I can only be one place at one time. But I want to know when you need me, and I want to be there for you. And I know that stands true with Billy and Jared and Carlene and Tim and Clay, all of us, all of your ministry staff. We want to be there for you. This was someone that's no longer here, but a long time ago, I kind of got chewed out because I hadn't visited someone, and I didn't know they had been in the hospital. I didn't know it. And so I've got to know that you need me, and I promise you I want to be there for you. So this is the covenant that if you are already a member of our church, I'm asking you today to re-up, you know? Like if you're in the military and your enlistment's coming to the end, and you kind of, this isn't, your membership's not coming to an end with this, but I mean, you know, you have to re-up, that's language. Isn't that right? Isn't that what you say it in the military? Re-up. So that's what I'm asking you. I believe God would ask us today, are you still all in? Are you still all in? And then if you have never made that commitment, then the question for you is, do you want to be all in? And there's a place down there for you to sign this if you are either one of those things. And if you are not a member, but yet you want to be and you want to talk to me about that, there's a place for you to check and to leave me your name and your contact information so I can get back with you. Next week, we are going to have a baptism Sunday. And I know that there are at least some baptisms. I don't know how many, but there are going to be some baptisms next week. You know, the thing about baptism, and I'm going to preach on baptism next week, but the thing about baptism is, what's the Great Commission? Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So, Christ commands it of us. If you haven't been baptized and you know you have Christ in your heart, you need to be baptized. But I also, I'll talk more about baptism next week. I don't want to get off there. But back to the covenant sheet. So here's what we're gonna do. I've asked Arliss to kind of play some music for us, and I want to pray, and then I want to invite you to bring your green slip. If that's you, if you want to re-up with Jesus and with this church, or if you want to talk to me about making a first time commitment to this church, I invite you to sign this sheet, fill out the information if it's necessary, and bring it to the altar after we pray. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that covenant was initiated by you. It's not something we dreamed up. It's not something that we have reached out to you, but you have reached out to us. And I thank you for the privilege of being called your children, to have been adopted into your family. And I thank you that the blood of Jesus was our fee. That was the price. I thank you for this church. I thank you for Wiley Methodist Church in the 110-year history, God. We've survived 110 years, but not only have we survived, but Father, your kingdom is still coming right here in our midst with a brand new set of faces, with brand new gifts, and brand new purposes. Father, we want to be a church that brings glory to your name. We want to be all in. I'd ask that you would convict our hearts by the power of your Spirit. Make us a people of covenantal relationship, of community, of unity. Don't allow pettiness to take root in our midst. May we focus on Jesus. Fix our eyes on you, Jesus. May your kingdom come. Bless those, Father, who make covenant and renew covenant this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Come if you will. invite the praise team to come up as we prepare to close. Many parts, and though all of its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. So it is with you. Amen. Amen. Go and tell someone. God bless you. We're dismissed.
Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. My one defense, my righteousness, oh God.